The work that I'm going to be presenting today is from three sites that are part of a long-term study known as the Garden of Eden Study, which was established in the 1980s by my co-author and collaborator Bob Powers. The initial objective of the study was to determine the effects of two commonly applied silvicultural treatments, namely competing vegetation control and fertilizer applications, to the productivity of ponderosa pine throughout the region that it's grown in Northern California. So the study selected a number of sites and installed experimental plantations that were designed with a 2x2 factorial design with competing vegetation control with herbicide and a complete fertilizer including macro and micro nutrients. And that design resulted in four treatment combinations: a competing vegetation control only, which you'll see denoted as an H for herbicide; a fertilizer only, which you'll see denoted throughout the talk as an F; the combination of both treatments, which will be an HF; and then a no treatment control. And herbicide and fertilizer treatments were applied biennially during the first 6 years of stand development. The three sites that we selected were chosen to encompass the variability in site productivity and soil types found in Northern California. So the lighter green dot over here is our lowest quality site. That's in the rain shadow of the Coast Range. And soils there are poorly developed inceptisols derived from metasediment. The intermediate site is in the California Cascades. And that is the Whitmore site, which Bob talked about briefly yesterday. Soils there are altisols that were derived from volcanic parent materials, and then our high productivity site is located in the Sierras, and soils there are volcanically derived alfisols. So this graph shows the 15-year standing boll volume by treatment for the three sites. We have low productivity and on the left up to the high productivity site on the right, so you can see the gradient in productivity is quite large. In addition, the four treatment combinations are shown by the different colored bars. The yellow is the control with no treatment, and the herbicide is red, fertilizer alone green, and then the purple bar is the combination of both those. At all three sites, fertilizer increased standing boll volume by between 60 and 75%. And at the lower quality sites, competing vegetation control tripled standing boll volume. So the response to these treatments by above ground growth of ponderosa pine is quite dramatic. And at the lower quality sites, shrub control is a major factor. So we wanted to know how these treatments at these three sites would change the quantity and distribution of carbon in the below ground carbon pool, and also the quality of surface soil organic matter. And we had a few hypotheses. I won't go into those in detail, but we also thought that the response to treatment of the below ground carbon pools would probably change between our three sites because they're so different in terms of soil type and productivity and response to shrub control in particular. So to quantify the pools, we sampled the forest floor, fine roots, and mineral soils down to 1 meter in a number of depth increments to assess the surface soil carbon quality. We collected the top 20 centimeters of soil and did a simple density fractionation with SPT solution adjusted to a density of 1.65 grams per milliliter. And in that method, you float a light density fraction, then the heavy fraction sinks. The lighter fraction is something analogous to a more actively cycling pool of carbon than what sinks and is associated with the mineral fraction. So that's the idea there. And then the other thing that we did was a 16-day laboratory incubation where we measured carbon dioxide production to determine carbon mineralization potential. The response of the mineral soil carbon pools and the fine root pools to treatment were minimal, and we may have had some problems there with high variability. But the forest floor carbon pools responded quite well to treatment, particularly to fertilization. And at all three sites, we had an increase in the forest floor carbon pool, about a 45% increase at the high and low end of the productivity gradient, and an 82% increase at the intermediate site. And that was driven largely by larger forest floor mass with fertilization. At the lower quality site, we also saw larger forest floor carbon pools with competing vegetation control. Because the total below ground pool is dominated by the mineral soil component, changes in the forest floor carbon pool didn't necessarily translate to changes in the total pool. Here we have the three sites again in order from low productivity on the left to the high productivity site on the right. The y-axis is the below ground carbon pool in megagrams of carbon per hectare. The brown portion of the bar is the mineral soil component, the yellow is the fine roots, and the green is the forest floor. We did see some treatment effects in the total pool, namely at the low productivity site, the fertilizer-only control increased the total below ground pool by about 50%, and that was partially driven by changes in the forest floor, but also small changes in the mineral soil carbon pool. At the intermediate site, going backwards, fertilizer had a small but statistically significant increase in the total below ground carbon pool. That was about a 10% increase. For soil organic matter quality, again, the first thing that we did was the density fractionation. And I did want to point out, again, across the gradient in sites, we have a large increase in below ground carbon storage with productivity. Similarly, we saw a higher amount of light fraction at the higher productivity site than at the two lower sites. And the only case where we had treatment effects was at the low quality site, where competing vegetation control, which at this site was essentially the removal of manzanita deciduous shrubs, woody shrubs. And that treatment reduced the amount of light fraction. The other thing that we did was the lab incubation, which is in the graph on the right side, carbon mineralization potential. And the Y variable is carbon mineralization over the 16 days, so that's cumulative carbon release as CO2. And that's in milligrams of carbon per gram initial carbon, and expressing it that way gives us a indicator of the lability of the carbon that's there. So this is the something like the proportion of carbon that was lost when these soils were put into optimal conditions for microbial activity. And there we saw a fertilizer effect only at the intermediate and high productivity sites, and the direction of that effect was opposite between the sites. So at the intermediate site, fertilizer increased carbon mineralization potential. At the high productivity site, fertilizer decreased the carbon mineralization potential. And then another thing that we saw that was interesting was that the proportion of carbon released, the lability of the carbon that's there, was highest at our low productivity site. So this site has the least amount of carbon stored, and then under optimal conditions releases proportionally more of it than the other two sites. So to give you a summary of what we found, first, we saw something that people have been seeing a lot lately, which is that treatments like fertilization, or in this case competing vegetation control also, substantially increase tree growth and tree productivity, but influences on below ground carbon storage and quality are much more subtle. In addition, we found that the forest floor carbon pools were more sensitive to management than the other pools at all the sites that we looked at. Our three sites varied widely in carbon storage and carbon quality, and also carbon protection and liability. And they varied with response to treatment, including a trend of increasing below ground carbon storage and decreasing organic matter liability with increasing productivity. We also saw evidence that shrub control may have decreased litter decomposition and in the field carbon cycling at the porous site where we had a buildup of forest floor material. And we also saw an increase in the carbon liability with fertilization at the intermediate quality site, but a decrease in carbon liability or an increase in carbon stabilization, that's a mistake on the slide, at the most productive site. And with that, I'd like to flash up the acknowledgments of people that helped me with this work, and that's it.